Well, with us in the studio is Cook County Auditor Treasurer Brady Powers. Good morning, Brady.
Good morning, Jay.
And being the Auditor Treasurer, that makes you the guy in charge of elections, which is why we've asked you to come in. The voter ID amendment. So how's that, if it's implemented, if the voters pass it, how's that going to affect us here in Cook County?
Well, it could be a very large effect, but we don't really know the details until the legislature meets in 2013 and puts the meat to this. Some of it's fairly clear. It says all voters voting in person must present a valid government-issued photographic ID before receiving a ballot. And if they don't have one, the government will provide one at no charge. Well, the requirement of having one, that's very clear. The government issuing one at no charge, that's an unknown until they meet.
Yeah, as I understand it, that could also have some effects on people who have identification, but it's not government issued.
Right.
Some states have said government approved, but this proposal says government issued. So that means that if you're going to a private college, your student ID is not going to do it. Okay. So, but how does that affect people like most of us?
Well, you're still part of your ID in Minnesota is that your ID also has to show where you actually live. The biggest issue here is that many people's voter IDs have their post office box. Mm-hmm. So for it to be a valid ID that shows who you are and where you live, that's going to have to show your physical address. And we have trouble with that right now, even with mail balloting, with the proofs on the envelopes, et cetera. So oftentimes we have to send them back. People have to then provide their physical address. So we deal with that right now, but this is going to take it another step when you have to come to the polling place. This is primarily, right now, it's the city of Grand Marais.
Yeah, I'm looking at my own driver's license right now as we speak, and I have both my P.O. box where I get my mail and my physical address listed.
Right, so you'll be fine, but a lot of people don't have that. And so they'll have to bring another form, and currently in law, that would be a utility bill within the last 30 days. So a lot of people aren't going to bring that. They're going to be sent home to get that. They either come back that day or vote a provisional ballot under this. It's a two-edged sword. If you give a longer period of time, people have more time to get a valid ID or to get the address verification that they need. They'll have the time to do that, so their ballot counts. But then that delays elections for a longer period.
Well, let's cut to the real chase, because I think the thing that's concerning most of us, Minnesota, over 210,000 ballots in a presidential year, which we're in, are cast by absentee, mail-in, or overseas voters. That's 195,000 Minnesotans voted absentee by mail, approximately 11,500 military overseas voters, and 45,000 registered voters in mail ballot precincts around the state. Now, we, with the exception of Grand Marais, are mail ballots. We're among those 45,000. So how are we going to prove who we are?
That is another one of the mysteries. That's not defined in this amendment, and it was asked many times. I read many articles in the newspaper. It was asked many times of the promoters of the legislation, how is this going to work for both absentee, that's the bigger number around the state, and for mail ballot, and there were no answers given. I guess the gist of the answers was, well, the legislature in 2013 will figure that out. And that's the real conundrum in this. It says substantially equivalent verification. Well, equivalent is right here in the polling place. You could take that another step and say substantially equivalent. Does that mean that you take your absentee ballot to a polling place in Arizona and a judge there will look you in the eye, look at your ID, determine that you're in Minnesota, determine that you're going to be voting for the place where you actually live? Is all that equivalency going to be done in another polling place in another state? How are they actually going to do that? How are they going to accomplish that?
Can a Minnesota law force an Arizona election judge to do that?
That's an excellent question. So that's what they're going to have to wrestle with. And then in our case, in the case of the 45,000 that are mail-in voters, how is that going to work? Because they're not going to another polling place in another jurisdiction. They're not absent. They're right here. So how do they provide a substantially equivalent? When you read the law and the amendment directly, that means you're going to take your mailed-in ballot and you're going to go to a polling place and have your ID verified, which negates the idea and the cost of mailing out the ballot, which has led the Secretary of State to assume that this basically ends mail ballot voting.
And probably same-day registration as well.
That one's pretty clear, because same-day registration, all of this requires, there are a lot of database checks in Minnesota law right now. We check through federal databases, Social Security, through our Department of Justice, Department of Motor Vehicles, the Postal Service. There are many, many checks that go on right now. And some of those can take place in Minnesota. Election day is considered the last 20 days, and that's because it takes time to go through the postal system. That's where that came from.
Secretary of State's got seven different checks that are done.
Correct.
Some of them are pretty intense. A lot of counties throughout the state are organized into townships, and townships usually have town halls, and that's a place where you can vote. But we don't have a lot of that. So
we
what happens if we have to actually present some kind of photo ID instead of mailing? Where do we do that, and how much is that going to cost?
Well, we have three towns. We used to go to the polling places up until 94, and the three towns presumably would use their town halls. We'd have the two city precincts in town. I don't think that would change. But the rest of the county is unorganized, and then the county would be responsible for providing polling places for those precincts. And one reason we went to mail balloting in the 90s was because it was so difficult under the new laws for the disability requirements to keep those buildings up to code, et cetera, and for the electronics, for the new systems.
Yeah, they got to have a special piece of equipment to be in compliance with federal
some
law.
Of its equipment. You have to have an auto mark under the 2004 legislation. That's about a $6,000 piece of equipment that allows people with disabilities to actually fill out their ballot electronically. And then you have to have a counting system. We would use the M100 to be consistent with everything else that we're doing. So that's another $5,000 piece of equipment. If you had to have poll books in these places too, which would allow you to do some of these verifications in a fairly quickly manner, it's about $2,000 for the basic poll book that can take several days. If you want some real-time verification so that there may be some people who could get verified, say, maybe on election day, but this is like an internet real-time connection that would be required in these polling places to do some of these verifications, and then you'd know that your ballot might be counted that day. Otherwise, you go into the provisional ballot pile and wait
and
for the
verification. And then as much as we probably will not have high-speed internet throughout the county by the year 2014, that would be a little hard to do. Let me ask you, have you talked to other county auditors? I mean, are they...
Oh, sure.
How do they feel? As confused as you?
Yeah, I mean, it's confusion, I guess. Probably less confusion than just wait and see, because it's simply not clear. And we know it'll happen in the future in the election. So it says that that those details have to be worked out in 2013 for elections to take place in 2013 under the new law.
We only got a minute left here, Brady, but I want to ask you, you are now in the process of budgeting for 2013. No way for you to know how to spread what these costs might be, because you don't know what they are, over a two-year period. So would that mean you would have to, the county would have to budget for whatever costs might be incurred once, if this amendment passes, in 1 year alone?
Yeah, essentially. I'm hesitant to put it into the budget. I mean, our budgets are at the point now that we're going to use our fund balance, essentially, mm-hmm. for this. And it could be anywhere. My estimates are anywhere from 100 to 250,000.
Okay. We've been speaking with Brady Powers. He is the Cook County Auditor Treasurer and in charge of the elections. Thanks for helping us understand what's going on should the constitutional amendment voter ID pass.